Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And Isaac from Resolute Man, together pursuing the mission to impact 10 million families and their legacies for the kingdom of God.
We've been married for 23 years and are seeing the fruit from raising our 9 children biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children, as too many from Christian families are walking away from their faith by the age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way.
We're praising the Lord that the ministry continues to expand and impact more legacies. We couldn't do this without you, whether you pray for us, give us 5-star reviews, or share on social.
Or even if you purchase courses and merch or join the Be Courageous App community, enjoy the coffee or support financially. We're so thankful you are a big part of the 10 Million Legacies movement.
If you want access to all the episodes, show notes, and other biblically-based resources, go to BeCourageousMinistry.org.
Join us as we start another important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Welcome to the podcast. Today, we're talking about tending to your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for listening. And you know, I'm just so grateful. I'm really grateful that we have some really loyal listeners.
Absolutely.
It's an encouragement to us. We love seeing your comments and reviews on Apple and wherever you listen. Of course, you can always find all of the notes at BeCourageousMinistry.org, right? Or at CourageousParenting.com also has the episodes and the blog posts that go with every single one of these episodes. And you guys, you're going to want to go look at the notes because there's 7 Bible verses that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, wow. Okay. And it's going to be a quick episode too.
That's right. We're going to keep it short and sweet and to the point.
But powerful. Well, you know, it's so important to really have humility in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, the Bible says, guys, we're supposed to lead our families. And that's a servant leadership. You've heard me talk about that before, mm-hmm. but it really takes humility. And I would encourage you gents to go listen to the Resolute Man podcast. I just gave you 3 questions to ask your wives, one of which is going to take a lot of courage to do so. Mm-hmm. I've already got feedback from people that have actually done it from listening to the episode and experienced fruitfulness in their marriage already. It just came out.
That's right. So, but it's all about humility because it's the first thing that we want to talk to you guys about today, which is being willing to say, hey, how can I be a better wife? And the guys would ask,
how can I be a better husband? How can I lead better was the specific question in there, because leadership is kind of a scary word for some people. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not a natural leader. Maybe, you know, you're learning how to lead. Mm-hmm. And especially even someone who's a natural leader out there in the workforce or in sports and these kinds of things, for some reason, when it comes to family, it isn't as natural for us guys. Now, some of you might say, well, actually, it's pretty natural for me, but I think you're rare. If that's you, you're rare. It's not natural. And frankly, it wasn't natural for me. It took thinking about it. It took intentionality. And frankly, it takes me rejecting the inner passivity inside me to do what I don't feel like doing in the moment, which is opening my Bible and reading it, even though I know half the people probably won't listen. And it's because they're little and it can get discouraging, right? Mm-hmm. Or to actually engage in a conversation and go deeper versus just kind of get back to my agenda. It's not easy. Now, in marriage, it's not easy either. It's not easy to take your bride's hand in humility and pray together and lead in that way. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do that.
And you know, we want to start out in scripture. So 1 Corinthians 13 is one of those scripture verses on love that's used in a lot of weddings. You've officiated weddings, and this is sometimes a verse that you've used, but honestly, you go into other scriptures, which I always love, but this is a very common one. Love is patient and kind. Yeah. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. So what is it? It's humility if it's not arrogant and rude, right? It does not insist on its own way. So that means it's selfless. It's not irritable or resentful. Okay, so that means it's forgiving if it's not resentful, right? Mm-hmm. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, adores all things. Love never ends. A lot of marriages end and they stop being loving.
Yeah.
And a lot of marriages need to be tended. Like if you were tending a garden, for example, it's a daily thing that you have to do with your garden or your plants will die. They'll either wither up because they have no water, or they'll get eaten by pests and bugs and the enemy will come in and destroy, or weeds and sin will start sprouting up and choke out the plants. We see this in the parable of the sower. There's warnings. And obviously, we can only give glory to God for any fruit that is in our marriage because he's the one that brings the increase. But what does it say in the Bible? It says that Apollos planted, I did the watering, God brought the increase, right? We see that in 1 Corinthians. So again, you guys, here we are talking about tending your marriage. It requires daily work.
Now, in an argument, it definitely takes humility because you can insist on being right or your opinion's the best or whatever the case may be, but are you doing that at the sacrifice of your marriage? Are you doing that at the sacrifice of your relationship, the peace in your home, of the ability to get to what is most important that you guys get to together and being a team? See, being right isn't the answer. Your relationship is the answer. And if you're willing to let go of being right, you're going to have a more fruitful marriage.
You know, it is hard though to be willing to invite criticism.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're asking you guys. If there was any homework, this would be the homework, right? Like to go and ask. If it's hard for you to verbally ask, or maybe you're scared of what the answer is going to be, if you were to say, hey, is there anything I could be better at? Or are you happy in our marriage? Or is there something we need to work on? If those are scary questions to you, write them. Write them in a letter. Give them to your spouse if you're scared, and then pray and just lean into the Lord. And I will tell you, you can't change another person, but you can change yourself, and that changing yourself can change your marriage. And so if there is something you're unhappy with, being humble and being willing to ask is really truly like the best antidote.
And humility. I'm sorry. Yeah. Humility. Yeah. Humility breeds more humility. So if you're hoping that your spouse asks you the question, how can I lead better? How can I be a better wife? Whatever it is, depending who's asking, then maybe you ask first because that could lead into them participating, and it might take some days or whatever, but it could lead into that. And so sometimes, although men are leaders of their families, women have so much influence, unbelievable influence. And one of the ways to have influence is to initiate what you want reciprocated back to you.
Yeah. It's interesting when you think about humility, it's like it really is a heart work that you have to do in order to get to a place where you can ask a hard question like that and receive it. And that can be kind of like it's a hard thing to do. It's doing hard things actually to ask those kinds of questions. You know what's interesting? I think that if you were to take the analogy of gardening again to another, that's like doing the hard work of tilling the soil and getting the soil ready to receive the crop and the seeds and the water and the work. And we have to do that work in our marriage. We have to tend them. We have to be willing to dig deep. We have to be willing to be transparent, to confess sins, to ask for forgiveness. All those things can be really hard in marriage. But can I just say, if you can't do that in your marriage, then likely you're not doing it in your relationship with God and other people. If First John really tells us that.
Just a thought came to my mind. If your marriage looks different than how it looks on Sunday at church, then there's a problem.
Yeah. No, it's really good. Okay, let's go into point two. Bam. Yeah. We're hitting this hard.
Selflessness, so important. I think of the vineyard when I think of selflessness. Like to be to be selfless, it takes being willing to be pruned. It takes willing to drop really good things so that the other person can do really good things.
No,
so,
true.
You know, like in the vineyard, when you grow the grapes, you have to cut half of it off. So all the energy goes into other. Otherwise, it won't be, none of the fruit will be good. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there's too many things going on, too much busyness, or maybe you're too busy and you're not allowing your spouse to be able to do what they need. Or
you're being selfish with your time
or their thing. So it takes,
or your agenda.
So what needs to be pruned out so that there's more space to be generous with time, to be selfless.
That's so good. You know, when God's word actually talks to both men and women on this topic of selflessness. And so I'm going to share two verses with you wives, and then Isaac's going to share a verse with the guys. Genesis 2:18, I think it's important that we have perspective on what our roles are in marriage and one of our purposes, because we have many in this life and as believers, but in marriage, within marriage, what do we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18? It says, then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. We are called to be helpers to our husbands. And so selflessness actually is the epitome of helping, the, helping mm-hmm. your spouse. And so ask yourself, do I help my spouse? Does he ever ask me for help? If he doesn't ask you for help, then maybe that needs to be part of your critique and exhortation question and go, hey, I notice that you don't really ask me for help very often. Is that because you think I'm too busy? Like you were just talking about, because I can carve out time and I will stop what I'm doing to help you because I realize that that's one of my first jurisdictions as a Christian wife. Mm-hmm. And like, that's huge. When mm-hmm. your heart changes and you recognize what God made you for, like God literally made Eve because he said it was bad for Adam to be alone. Then if we flip forward, woo, all the way to Proverbs 31, verse 12, it says, so this is talking about like, who can find an excellent wife, mm-hmm. right? A virtuous wife. And then you go down to verse 12, it says, she does him good. It's talking about her husband, who an excellent wife who can find in verse 10. Verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Not half the days of her life, not a portion of the days of her life, all the days of her life. Like that's super convicting for any wife. This is another call for selflessness. She does him good, not harm. What would do good to your husband? What are ways that you could serve him that are going to do him good, not harm? It's kind of like when you're in the garden and you're evaluating, okay, what is the most important work I do right now? Is it weeding? Is it fertilizing? Is it watering? Is it pruning? What is the most important work you need to get done today in your marriage? That's a powerful question.
Well, it's hard to be selfless if you're agitated. So if you're agitated, if there's a bitter root or there's unforgiveness in your marriage, pretty hard to be selfless. However, mm-hmm. God can help you with that. Mm-hmm. God can help you to be loving and selfless even when the natural self, the flesh, feels like the other person doesn't deserve your support, mm-hmm. doesn't deserve mm-hmm. your selflessness. But really, what are you tearing apart with, what are you contributing to? When you're not selfless, even though you're agitated, you're contributing to two becoming one, not being so much one.
Right. You know what I mean? You're being an individual and having an independent spirit and working against each other versus together.
Ephesians 5:28, right? Is it 5:28?
It's 25 through 28, yeah.
Okay. The board said something different. So
I know. So sorry.
That's all right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. I think of, you know, what's a really powerful, awesome thing that guys do, and a lot of guys are really into it, is fitness, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Physique, and making sure they're strong, and they're making sure they get their workouts in, and they're drinking their protein shakes and the right balanced vitamins and so forth. And my challenge for you, while all that's good, my challenge for you is that same energy put in to your wife's health.
It's so true. I mean, if you love your wife as if it was your own body, you would be making time for her.
Oh, welcome to the farm.
That's Jehoshaphat.
Yeah. Right at the window watching us and screaming.
That's great. Fantastic,
Joe. Oh, well, okay. Welcome to the farm.
That's right. So anyway, I totally agree with you. I think of there's this other verse that you were going to share also in Colossians 3:19. But before you share it, I just wanted to share something. The passage you were just sharing that goes along with this next scripture, they're really, I mean, they give you insight into God's bird's eye view of how he understands marriage relationships, right? Because he's giving commands, he's giving exhortations, giving instructions to husbands in how to treat their wives and how not to treat their wives. Why would he even put it in there if he knew it wasn't going to be a temptation for a man to not do that?
Yeah.
Right?
Because obviously men can be harsh sometimes, if I'm reading into this correctly, right?
Maybe not impatient.
Not every single, but you know, I think that impatient, harsh, it says right here, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I think that one of the things that the impatience comes out, and sometimes we can be harsh, is, well, some of us are in business environments, and business environments mm-hmm. are harsh, and we need to not take that. We shouldn't be harsh in business. I'm not saying that, but that can rub
but
off on us.
The world is harsh. The world is harsh. And if you've been treated harsh during the day, you come home.
You come home, and you have to be gentle with your wives. We cannot mm-hmm. take that in with our relationship with their wives. Also, women have way more words to say. And some mm-hmm. women they're naturally just want to really explain something. So one tip I'll give you is really good acknowledgments. Otherwise, some wives, maybe not yours, but some, will want to keep explaining.
Especially
because they don't believe you're listening. Mm-hmm. And so if you aren't an active listener with the nonverbals and hmms and all these eye contact and all things, you're looking at your phone or something like that, your wife is likely to talk even more. I know I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. And so I have learned to give her undivided attention, because then it's easier for me to be patient. It's mm-hmm. easy for me not to get harsh, because I'm getting the gist in a shorter amount of time, which mm-hmm. I absolutely love.
I would say that, I mean, for those of you who want a bird's eye view into our marriage, I haven't ever experienced Isaac really being harsh with me. And when it's interesting that people think of words when they think of harshness.
Yeah.
Like when we read that verse, don't you think like, oh, husbands, like, be careful with how you're talking to your wife. Mm-hmm. Don't be harsh with them verbally.
Yeah.
But actually there could be ways that men are being harsh with their wives that are nonverbal. And I'm not talking about like physical abuse, although that it could be a problem for some people. I even think about being harsh as far as your expectations. Mm. Do you expect your wife to have a perfect home and perfect kids and get all of your things done? And then do you portray a disappointment when she hasn't gotten something done or when the food's not good? Like, that's kind of harsh when someone is doing their best and they feel like they can't measure up.
Oh, it's almost an attitude. I honestly have not had this attitude, but I've seen it.
I've
heard
seen
about
it in other men. That's why
an attitude of almost like they don't have enough to do. Like, there's not a, that they're not,
they don't have
efficient
respect for
or
wife
productive
is doing.
Because if they were, I mean, you're just at home and this thing isn't done.
There's no respect.
There's not an understanding for the full breadth of what women mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. And I think that can lead into agitation if someone doesn't have that, into nitpicking small things not finished. And I think that, I mean, I've learned because she's been on bed rest before what she actually does. And it is remarkable.
Hey there, we just wanted to invite you to join us in the next Parenting Mentor Program, where we talk more about the heart of parenting in session 2. So take a listen to this next little clip, and we hope you join us.
Steve and I realized that we were getting too comfortable with the world's vision of how to raise our children.
What Angie and Isaac have done in creating this is literally phenomenal.
This program provided awesome scripture-based teachings and just some really great practical applications.
This class has just really rocked my world.
It has given me a vision for not just the different things that we might focus on as parents who are trying to raise our kids biblically, like how our kids are behaving or what we're doing with discipline, but also the things of the heart.
We now have a game plan to how we want to raise our children. We have so many answers to the questions that have been in our mind.
It's not just these hypothetical situations, or it's not just this, here's what I think you should do. It's, let me show you where in scripture this is.
Do your legacy a favor and yourself a favor and just do it.
One of the best things that we've done this year, one of the best investments we've made this year, and I could not recommend it more.
We're no longer fearing dark days ahead, but we're so excited to raise lights to be leaders for the next generation.
You know, I think too, there's an element of harshness around like bodies, and women struggle with body image. And if a husband is like verbally discontent with the way his wife looks, for mm-hmm. example, and he like nitpicks, why are you eating that? Or you shouldn't eat that. Or, you know, like, even when she's like working out, going, well, did you do this? Well, did you do that? Or not being willing to like help her to buy new clothes if she doesn't fit in her clothes, like being nitpicky. And that could be harsh. That could be considered harsh. So if any of these things are things that you've struggled with in your marriage and you're listening and you're just like starting to weep at this moment, my heart goes out to you. And after this podcast, I'm going to be praying for my sisters in Christ, who maybe this particular section of the podcast is like hitting a nerve in their heart. because this is, but I do want to encourage you to go to one another. Like the Bible has laid out instructions. We know that in regards to offenses, because we're going to talk about forgiveness next, in regards to offenses, the Bible will say in Proverbs, it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. But then there's also Matthew 18. If a brother has offended you, to go to them in person without talking to other people. So no gossip involved. This, like, you go to your spouse. If they don't listen, then you take another person. And if they still don't listen, then you go to like your pastor and you bring them and you get marriage counseling or whatever, right? But this is the thing, like, you need to go to your spouse with the offense and say, hey, I felt like when you said this, it was kind of harsh, or I've been feeling like I'm not fulfilling your expectations of a wife, or is there, you know, like maybe I'm not good enough for you, or do you wish you didn't marry me? Like, I imagine like the sadness that some women maybe listening are feeling those things. And those are like, that, those are things that can destroy a marriage. You got to tend to those fears and those lies and those feelings.
I have a couple thoughts I have to share. One is, if you have not cultivated your relationship deep enough in your marriage, then it just becomes about physical. And if it's only about physical, then that's not going to last.
It's going
to. And so have to invest. You have to spend time together and invest, because all of our bodies are deteriorating. We can do a good job of keeping the holy temple going, but you know,
for a certain
but
period
cells
of time.
Are. Yeah. Deteriorating as you get older. And so it's got to be mm-hmm. about much more than that. The other thing is, if husbands are really nitpicky about their wives' looks and things like that, mm-hmm. it might, doesn't always, but it might be a pornography problem. Mm-hmm. And now it's a very unfair competition, because mm-hmm. here your wife has had children, all of these things,
well,
doing
her
best you can. And then porn is not real. Even if it was real people, they're making edits and all these things. And now there's AI and all these things. So it's an unfair competition. It's sin and it's adultery. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very wrong, because now it's, even if the wife doesn't know it, it's causing her to be on a unfair treadmill mm-hmm. of trying to please her husband, when there's this wrong competition happening, when there should be no competition at all.
It's interesting that you jumped into this. That's the fourth. We're going to talk about forgiveness, but maybe let's just switch and talk about forgiveness after we talk about investing in your relationship, because you actually use that terminology and you're talking about intimacy and pornography, which is also on our list of investing in your relationship, tending your marriage. We can't have this conversation without talking about intimacy. We can't have that conversation without looking at some scriptures that are challenging. They're actually kind of challenging for marriages, right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. This is a hard one for people to hear, but hey, if you argue with this, you're just arguing with the Bible, not Angie. Okay, I'm just going to read the Oracle of God right here. It says, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except for perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as myself. So he was like single, right? But each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another.
What do you think about this topic of, I hear this out there sometimes. Someone said this as a guest on my Resolute Man podcast, which is that sometimes women will use intimacy as leverage, as manipulation, and withhold it for to influence.
Yeah, I think that I know for a fact, because I've talked to women who have struggled with this.
Okay.
It for sure is a thing. I think that if it's happening on a regular basis, then that means that the foundation is that the husband's actually not leading in that marriage and actually pursuing or initiating the intimacy. He's waiting for his wife to, because he's either been rejected multiple times mm-hmm. or he's never been the initiator, in which case the wife has been not the spiritual leader, but the intimacy leader, in which case then the husband's just waiting for her to initiate, when in reality, God has made the husband the head of the family. Yeah. And so recognizing the right biblical roles within gender actually affects the marriage bed.
Yeah.
Which is a really powerful thing, like for husbands to realize. And then if they initiate and they get rejected, then it's like, okay, we need to talk about this.
Or sometimes you have to live with your wife in an understanding way too.
Right?
Sometimes that rejection isn't rejection. It's just that right. she's dealing with something. She had a baby 3 weeks ago, or, you know, there's all kinds of right. things that we have
or she's struggling with body image, which
we have to live in an understanding way.
If she is struggling with body image, wouldn't it be helpful for the husband to know that so that he can start speaking the True. Powerful life-giving words over her? Oh, you're beautiful. And like on a regular basis throughout the time, and like being able to invest in the time alone as a married couple to be able to talk about those things and get her the help she needs if she needs help, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I think that really all of this goes under actually the topic of investing in your relationship and having those really dug deep, hard conversations, which again, tending a garden is so similar, because when you're like rototilling ground,
yeah.
you have to dig deep to moisten up the soil so that the roots of the transplanting plants can go in and actually be fruitful and get big and luscious. Otherwise, if they hit rocks and they hit weeds and they hit stumps, they're not going to grow, right? And it, so like having these hard conversations is the digging deep in your marriage. It's like you're turning over soil. You're turning over sin. You're turning over things and finding, oh my goodness, look at that root. That was there. Are you kidding me? That prevents us from being able to go deeper, like finding out about trauma. You know, I've heard of even pastors who have confessed like 15 years into their marriage, they found out that their wife had suffered rape way before they were married. Mm. Like, and find like that is digging deep though, and continuing to invest in your marriage. You don't just like court a woman, get married, and then take each other for granted.
Right.
Like you have to keep tending to your marriage to make it grow.
Just was thinking, you know, we have the 6-session Courageous Marriage series in the app. Get in the Be Courageous app, because outside of the app, that thing would be a couple $100 if we're charging for like our courses.
No, it's
but
true.
It's free in the app. We have so much resource in there. Sometimes I think it gets taken for granted, but there's a session called Oneness, which is an hour, which just is a must go through as a married couple.
Because it's more than intimacy, but intimacy is truly like a physical reflection of what is or isn't there on a spiritual level, and a oneness of heart, mind, and soul in addition. It's really powerful. But we have another, you know, as far as intimacy goes, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4.
Good one. All right. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, realizing you were talking about pornography and how that can be, I mean, that is sin. Like you said, that's adultery. That is very painful when a wife finds out about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's pain even before that, because I think both men and women know when there's sin happening in a marriage before they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you can sense it. There's the body language. Mm-hmm. There's the lack thereof body language or eye contact. There's there's all of those things. And a wife will like deny it. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's maybe not able to make eye contact with me for some other reason, right? And they'll think of other things because they want to avoid the truth of maybe what the problem is. And I just want to say, if this is something that you suspect is a problem within your marriage, pray, ask hard questions, dig deep. Encourage your husband to get help seeking a pastor. If you don't have a church, or if he doesn't feel comfortable talking to someone that he knows in person, like reach out even to Isaac. Like you're going to be meeting and help. You've helped a lot of men over the years with
this. Well, yeah. If someone's interested, resoluteman.com, there's a work with me section, and it's beyond just working with me. There's 3 different paths that are now possible. This is really new. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to go look at it. And even if it's not the pornography thing, but you just want excellence in your leadership with your home and even business, and really, you know, what is the redefining having it all? It is most importantly a thriving marriage, a thriving family, and your legacy continuing of faith. That is the most important thing. And too many people sacrifice that. They let their ambition sacrifice the most important missions. They get distracted, they get derailed by the enemy through things like pornography and so forth. So yeah, definitely take a look there, and you can even schedule a free short call with me to see if it's a good fit.
Yeah, I love that. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that that was a resource that it's coming, and you can find out more about it at resoluteman.com, right, Isaac?
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, this topic of investing in your relationship, it really, you can't omit the word time. You already mentioned Like, are you too busy with your own agenda that you don't have time and you're not being selfless? You're being selfish with your time. But it really takes intentionality of carving out time to spend time together and tending your marriage so that you, if you want to have a thriving marriage 50 years down the road, 60 years down the road, whatever, like you cannot have that without tending your marriage. Tending your marriage requires time. It's the most important ingredient, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's unavoidable that you will have to carve out time. Mm-hmm. And what you do with that time is also important, right? We're not talking about going and just always going and seeing a movie and not talking. That's not like the date night of choice. Like that's not going to cut it as far as tending your marriage. You need to invest in your spouse.
Yeah.
And that requires all of the things that we've been talking about today, but this is really a reflection of if you take each other for granted or not. If you're thinking, oh, it's too expensive to get a babysitter, then you just don't get it. You're literally like that's just like the craziest excuse I've ever heard in my life. You can have date night ins and invest time with your spouse. You can stop, I don't know, doing your hobbies of golf or video games or whatever you're doing. That's not stuff my husband does, but
I do like golf. I just haven't had time because I have a busy life.
Yes, no, I get it, but I can't even, yeah. The whole point is that like if you have your priorities straight, when you're in busy, busy seasons, you're going to be investing in what's most important first. And as a leader in your marriage for men, like that is the best investment that you can give, because then your wife is more likely going to want to be the selfless one that is doing good, not harm, all the days of her life, right?
Like, all right. A lack of forgiveness is not forgiving part of your team.
Right, because you're one.
That's so just good. Think about that for a second. So yeah. It is important to forgive. And if you're harboring something, mm-hmm. yes, you may need to talk about it. You need to have lengthy conversations, mm-hmm. but ultimately mm-hmm. forgiveness is essential for a thriving marriage. There is no thriving marriage. There is no growing stronger mm-hmm. if there's a bitter root and there's a lack of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So that is such a wedge that will just grow mm-hmm. in a negative way. You've got to get rid of mm-hmm. it. And the only way is real forgiveness.
I kind of think that forgiveness is like, it's so if time is like water and investing in your marriage, then forgiveness is like weeding, because sins are kind of like weed, right? And forgiveness is like weeding in the sense of like you're taking time to forgive and you're getting rid of it. You're literally like, goodbye, all the bad things, goodbye, forgiving, right? And it's a necessity. Otherwise, what happens, we saw in the parable of the sower, I was just talking about in the heart of the home this morning, we did a Bible study on where love grows in your home. And mm-hmm. and we talked briefly about the parable of the sower. And within that parable, in Matthew 13, you can go look it up. It's important that we recognize that like when you don't tend something and you leave the weeds, they can choke out the plant. Mm-hmm. And so if we aren't having forgiveness, guess what happens to your marriage? Your marriage gets choked out. Like it's required. You have to do it.
And you are hurting your own relationship with mm-hmm. God. Let's look at that. Or closeness. How about closeness with God?
Right.
Let's Mark 11:25 says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive mm-hmm. if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Wow. So that means that if you don't, what would happen?
So if you're not hearing from God, if you're feeling like you're alone and you're praying, but you're not feeling that connection with God, maybe you could ask yourself, is there any lack of forgiveness for anybody? Mm-hmm. Could be another girlfriend or something like that too. Or a guy friend, one mm-hmm. of the gents has. I mean, if you have a lack of forgiveness, something happened in business, things like that, there's things I've had to forgive, mm-hmm. really significant things. And I'm so thankful that mm-hmm. I have God, because mm-hmm. he gave me the strength to truly forgive mm-hmm. things.
We want to end this podcast with a little verse, a little passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 or 16 here. It says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, mm-hmm. humility, like humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, that's having understanding with mm-hmm. one another, and if One has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Hey, it's so important that we have thriving marriages. We're living in unprecedented times. There's threats against your family. There's people that may even be praying against your marriage. Can you believe that? There may even be people praying against you. That happens. There's all kinds of demonic forces out there. There's spiritual warfare. But you know what's true? We have an all-loving, way more powerful God that's in control, that loves you, loves your marriage, loves your kids, wants to be involved. And we just need to be surrendered. We need to not have any lack of forgiveness. We need to make sure we're not having any unbelief, and that we're leaning into the Lord and we're walking strong. And the only way we can do that is if we're in the Word. If you're not in the Word of God, you're going to start deviating. You're going to start having a challenge of forgiving your spouse and others. And if you really want to be strong, if you really want to hedge a protection over your family, you've got to cooperate. If you're not cooperating with the Lord, then you might be blocking him from protecting your family and using you in your marriage in the way that needs to be done, so that your marriage goes to a new level of thriving, so that it can be a witness and glorify God in this uncertain times, in this crazy world that we're living in. And we don't have to have any fear at all, because we have the Almighty God. So whatever your situation is right now, get on your knees, pray about it, and ask the Lord for wisdom, ask godly people for wisdom, get the help you need, but most importantly, lean on the Lord.
That's right. Amen. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening and being a part of the 10 Million Legacies movement. Go to BeCourageousMinistry.org for more biblically based resources, ways to switch where you spend your money that support the mission, and information about the incredible Be Courageous app community for believers.
Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program.
Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video session with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program. We cover everything from tending to their hearts, handling obedience, to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private group in the Be Courageous app, live webcasts, and direct access to us.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at BeCourageousMinistry.org. That's BeCourageousMinistry.org.